Hello and welcome to the Uncommon Truth Podcast. My name is Luke and I'm your host today. Thank you so much for joining me as we dive into this week's topic in the Kingdom of Heaven is Like series. We are going to be looking at what it means to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord and to bear fruit and to be filled with knowledge and understanding. Stay tuned for a quick peek from today's episode.
My sheep know my voice, they follow me. I want to be his sheep first and foremost.
Right.
And if I end up a dumb, stupid sheep and cross the finish line, still a dumb, stupid sheep, I still cross the finish line.
That's good.
If I get to know his wisdom and revelation, I might be sharing it with the world through a podcast. Mm-hmm. I get to share it on a microphone every Sunday morning. I get to help people go that next step, the next breadcrumb, the next line, the next precept, the next just... I don't care if it's an inch, man.
Yeah.
We just keep going inches. Pretty soon, you're pretty far along.
You're listening to The Uncommon Truth, a podcast about Christianity the way Jesus meant it to be. The Uncommon Truth is a podcast produced by the Father's House Church of Oroville, California, and is available wherever podcasts can be found. If you missed an episode or want to share the show with a friend, visit uncommonpodcast.com. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please take a second to leave us a review. That helps us climb the charts so more people can find out about Christianity the way Jesus meant it to be. If you want to give us your feedback, you can email the show at uncommontruthpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll try to feature your questions and comments in an upcoming episode. Finally, if you're looking to learn more about the Father's House Church, School of Transformation, or Life Recovery Ministries, visit fathershouseoroville.com. And now let's get into The Uncommon Truth. Here's what's coming up.
Hello and welcome back to The Uncommon Truth. My name's Luke. I'm filling in for Max, our regular host, and I'm joined, as always, by Steve and Vicky Orsillo.
Hey.
Hey.
And we are back for another episode in our The Kingdom of Heaven is Like, what Jesus, and then now we're into what the Acts, and now today I think we're going to look at Colossians, Paul, what they wrote about the Kingdom of Heaven and how we should respond to it. And we've had a lot of fun on this season. Last week we had a really great episode talking about the whose kingdom are you following, whose kingdom
really
are you
good.
Building.
Yeah, that was really good.
You two are comical.
He's still at his Disney. He went to Disneyland.
I just back from Disneyland. My brain's not bad.
On the Matterhorn.
Yes.
He's still on the Matterhorn. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
But yeah, so what is new at the Father's House?
We always have a million projects going on, and we have two new portable classrooms that were delivered to the 91 acres. And we're putting them in just in time to house Gift of Hope and Lights of Hope.
Wow.
Yep.
Because the building we housed them in last year is co-opted by a food bank that's reaching out to the whole North State.
Wow.
And now it's being packed with food and shipped out weekly to different food banks all over the North State. So that building's been co-opted. And just in time, like the nick of time, like
a Jesus
time. Like a glory moment. These two buildings come available, and they were so cheap we couldn't pass them, bought them.
Wow.
They're set up today.
Wow.
And we have a lot of work to remodel, but we can use them in the current state for these two events.
So you're not only gorgeous, you're functional.
Functional, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Functional.
I ain't no sports
that's
model,
that's a great
baby.
You're functional.
I'm a work truck. I'm a work truck, baby.
I think I'm going to keep him for I'm going to renew my option.
That's right. Renew your option on this.
I'm going to give him another 10.
Yeah,
give me another 10.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know, Gift of Hope is one of our big Christmas outreaches where we help children in the community receive Christmas presents every year. I think we originally started in 2005, I believe, and we took a little break. But over the years, we've averaged about 1,000 kids each year that we.
I think we started with like 100 kids.
Started with 100, but then I think from recent years, it's been 1,000.
It went up from 100 so fast.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like the next year, we went to 800 or 900,
and we
went up to 2,000.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Sure. It did actually in the campfire.
The campfire year, it sure did.
Sorry, I was just placating Vicky at that.
Yeah, he immediately thinks that any number Vicky says is wrong, so he just immediately questions it.
Because I'm not always good with my numbers, but this time I was actually accurate, and you were.
I did. I doubted you. I apologize.
Thank you.
It wasn't that
Maybe
you were right. You just weren't as wrong as you usually are.
That's right.
But yeah, so Get to Hope is coming up soon, and you know it's a great opportunity for our listeners to get involved. We have kids in the community sign up saying what they want and they need, and we'll be placing these children online. If you want to sponsor a kid this Christmas, then we will post in the coming weeks the information to do that in our description. So,
what's the name again?
Gift of Hope.
Gift of Hope. So if they can just Google Gift of Hope.
Yep, Gift of Hope.
And they can give online.
Give money. They can sponsor a child. So we put a little, we call it a tag, Christmas tag, that says the kids' sizes and the gender and things they like and need. And you can shop for that child and ship the stuff to us on Amazon. We try to make it really easy for people to get involved. So that's coming up soon. And then Lights of Hope, which is our really fun Christmas light show.
I'm excited.
I was in the planning meeting for that this morning, and it's starting to come together. So it's fun.
It's amazing. Last year, the Lights of Hope, in 22 days, I think, because we had one rain day, we had 18,000 people walk through the free light walk. And it's an incredible, looks like a little Christmas Hallmark village.
Yeah.
And this year, the light walk is, I know it's going to be themed, and there's going to be, I know New York City's there, and it's pretty cool as you walk through it. So if you're in the North State or all the way down to Stockton, and we have people from the Bay Area come, please come. Check that. That's a Lights of Hope.
How many days is it until Christmas, Kevin?
It's a lot.
It's a lot. They have it on in the whiteboard in the media office. There's like a countdown
to
Christmas. Yeah, so.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I thought he knew.
It's Christmas already. October comes and it's Christmas.
Yeah.
That's how it feels like.
Well, we'll get that when he finds it.
Yeah, we'll get
He's looking feverishly.
He's fact checking. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
How many? 79 days until Christmas. Wow.
79.
Holy moly. Yeah.
So let's dive in, guys.
Let's go, baby.
Yeah. So today we're going to start in Colossians chapter 1. This is Paul writing to the church in Colossae. And
oh, that was a Colosseum.
Oh, my goodness.
the people in the lion's den. Before they got, never mind. Hey, go ahead.
Okay.
Colossia.
Colossia.
Colossia. Colossia, I think.
However it's said. Anyway, to those people.
Yes.
And I'll start reading from verse 9 if you want to read along with us. So it says, Paul says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins."
Wow. Powerful.
Man. So this scripture has this phrase in it, "so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord." It's like,
wow.
When I read that,
wow.
It's like, how do you do that?
Yeah.
What on earth? How is that possible?
Spend your life figuring it out.
And the way Paul writes, you have to walk it.
Yeah.
So what's he talking about? "For this reason's" your first three words, right?
Yep.
What reason?
Right.
Well, it's the love mm-hmm. of Jesus Christ. It's the love. If you go back to verses before it, it's the love.
Yeah.
"We have heard of your love, and since we first heard of it, we have prayed continually for you that you will," we are asking that you will be filled with the knowledge of his will. Amazing. "In all his will," not just knowing his will, but knowing it in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. It's one thing to know his will, but then to understand it, like crazy, right? And spiritual understanding, it's almost like, like out there beyond us, right? And it's like, but they're praying. Paul's praying for these people that they will know his will and understand his will and be revealed in his will. And it just goes on. So that you'll walk in a manner of the Lord to please him in all respects. Oh my goodness. The very desire of my life is to please him in all respects, to walk in a manner worthy of him. When I look at the cross, when I look at the sacrifice of the Father, loving the world so much, he gave his only begotten Son. I mean, I want to be worthy of that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if every human person that claims to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, is looking to be worthy of what God has done for me.
Wow.
Being each person's me.
Yep.
Right? And it's just like, this is a mind-boggling set of scriptures that flow into who Jesus is.
Yeah.
Later, down in, you know, the big ones, the big apologetic verses of the firstborn of all creation comes on to us.
Yep.
And all those things about describing Jesus. But first, what's most important is what is available to you and me. There's a prayer being prayed. Why is it being prayed? Because they heard about the Colossians' love.
Yeah.
And it's love for God. It's love for one another. It's the obedience of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
They are being obedient to the call of Jesus Christ, which the only call he had was to love one another as I have loved you, dying for one another, laying down your life, living the truth, preaching the truth.
That's good.
For this reason, since the day we heard about it, your love, have not ceased praying for you that you'd walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects,
yeah,
that you bear fruit in every good work, and increase your good work, and increase in the knowledge of God,
okay,
becoming more and more aware of who he is. Now, here at the Father's house, we have a school of ministry, and we want you to find out who God is, and
my,
we have found out that there has not yet been a single student to come there that once they heard just our part, just a little tiny bit we know about who God is, didn't say, oh my gosh,
yeah,
I didn't know that. I didn't realize that. A knowledge of who God is, a knowledge of God.
Yeah.
And we're talking kindergarten. We're talking a trickle. We're talking a few pebbles of sand, a few kernels or grains of sand of what the total knowledge of God must be when you look at the vastness of the universe and how big he is. Paul's praying that they would have increasing knowledge of God. I mean, what more could you ask? First, you got walk in his a manner worthy. You got spiritual wisdom and understanding. You got the ability to please him. You got every good work being bearing fruit in every good work you do, bearing fruit in it. I mean, I want the things I do to have an effect, and that's what he's praying for these people,
yeah,
that the, every good work would bear fruit.
Okay.
I mean, it's just like, this is like the grand slam of Christian idea that we should be walking in every day, the passion of our life, the first thought in the morning, the last thought at night kind of thing, where my whole world is all about being pleasing in his sight, walking in a manner worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ's cross for me. Or even go back to the birth. Forget the cross for a minute. Could I even be worthy of just him being willing to be born?
Yeah. Good.
God amongst us? I mean, it's just like in this filthy human world where he comes from pure holiness,
mm-hmm,
it's just like what he did for us. Could I could actually be worthy of it? And then you go on to increasing in the knowledge of God. Okay, let's just take a deep breath and stop there and wait a couple of hours while we let that settle in.
Yeah.
See, but he doesn't stop there. And that wasn't even a period. That's a semicolon in my book. Strengthened with all power. What? According to his glorious might.
Wow.
Not all power that you and I dream up. Not all power that the superheroes have.
Right.
Not all power that Marvel made up. You know, not that kind of power. No, all power that's according to his glorious might.
Mm-hmm.
The one who spoke this entire universe into existence in 7 days. The one who with words creates.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. For the attaining, because it doesn't stop there.
No, keeps going.
In doing this, it's for the purpose of attaining all perseverance and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. I mean, stop. Could we spend the next couple of centuries studying just those words, could we find in our life a place where this paragraph is true in its wholesomeness? I've arrived. I need no man to teach me. I don't, you know, I've made it. People are crazy to read this and think they've made it. This is what Paul's prayer is for people who have already become Christians, who are showing love to one another and love for God. And he's saying, now you've got the revelation of the cross. You've got the revelation of your forgiveness. You've got the revelation of his love for you. You know you love him. Now I'm praying for you that you would walk in a manner worthy of him. And it just goes on and lines it up to kick you in the rear. I tell you what. I don't look at my life regretting the short time I have left. I regret that I didn't have more to give him. It's not for me, the short time I have left for me. I wish and I pray, when I pray about my life and whether how long I will live, I want more because I haven't done that good at walking in a manner that's worthy of him. I think I might have pleased him. But I just feel like there's so much more of my life to please him and so much more fruit in good works and so much more of knowledge of him that I can gain here and not just gain for me. I'll gain it when I die. We'll see face to face then, right?
Yep.
So I'll have more knowledge of him when I die. But I can teach, if I can get more knowledge here, I can teach these young skulls full of mush. I can help them gain more knowledge of him, right? Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, it's good. I think that is that's so deep. It's and the thing that sticks out to me. Well, the whole thing sticks out to me, but Steve said it so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him. It's like, what are we supposed to do?
We're supposed to
please him.
Yeah, and we want.
And
to
how
please
do we
us.
Please him? Just by saying I'm a Christian? Yep. Just by doing nothing?
Right.
And he's, you know, it's like this is what pleases him. To walk in a manner worthy, and you know, and it's like strength, and strength was his power. There's so much power in the Holy Spirit that we don't even acquire or acquiesce. I think it's almost like it's the gas in our engine, but we just are always on empty. Mm-hmm. You know, what is it to please him? It's to walk in a manner worthy.
That's good.
I believe those are all adjectives and verbs. How we should live then?
Yeah, walk, please, bear, increase.
Those are all action words, are they not?
Yep.
And it's like, I'm shocked. Steve and I talk about this almost every day. It's like, what are we reading in the 21st century Christianity? What are we doing? Why do we believe this watered-down gospel that has no power to do anything? I don't understand why anybody would want it because we're not walking to please him.
Right.
We look just like the world. Why would anyone want to be a Christian? Because there's no differential between the light and the darkness sometimes. It's like that we walk in the light as he's in the light. We should be able to show forth his light and his goodness and his mercy. And they're all verbs. And I don't understand that you just say a sinner's prayer in 1979 and that makes you worthy. Mm-hmm. That doesn't please him.
No.
That's an introduction to please him. That's a beginning of a relationship, right. And this is such a great bunch of scriptures.
That's him doing his part, right? We see in verse 13 and 14, it says, "For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, where we have redemption, forgiveness of sins." So it's kind of like he takes that first step, right? John says it, you know, for God, he first loved us, so we love him in return. And our response to him transferring us into his kingdom should be this walking in the manner
this
worthy, right?
This is the bridge. Okay, the door is, you behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. And if you open the door, you'll know me and I'll know you. Okay, I've let you into my life. I've let you into my heart. I've let you into my body. Now the bridge is do what pleases him.
Yeah.
Let's find out what pleases Jesus Christ, God the Father, Holy Spirit, and let's major on that.
Yeah.
Man. So this back to the knowledge of his will in all spiritual understanding, spiritual wisdom and understanding. I marvel at that, you know. I do recognize it that there's so much in the mind of Christ that boggles your mind. Mm-hmm. Some of it's beyond you. But if you learn how to practice the presence of Jesus in your life.
Yep.
Catherine Coleman said, if I decide to set a time, like pray every day. Mm-hmm. Catherine Coleman is a a former, she ran healing and miracle services, and there's testimonies all over the world of the most incredible miracles she prayed through and yeah. saw in her ministry. And so she was on a talk show. It might have been Merv Griffin, Mike Wallace, if you remember those guys. And she said, no, I don't set apart. I don't pray every day. Is that all you do is pray every day? She goes, well, no, I don't do that. I do pray every day. I pray continually. Mm-hmm. My whole focus is the presence of God in my life.
Wow.
And so I don't pray an hour a day. I don't go into a sit in a chair and wait mm-hmm. on him. I live my day walking and waiting on him every moment of every day. Wow. I'm trying to get my mind to practice his presence inside of me so that I have an awareness of his mind and his heart. Hmm. And that's what he's sharing with me, is that we need to have a real awareness of his presence inside of us. When we do something, he does it with us. When we receive something, he's receiving it. When we bring something into our life that may be evil, we are making it so his spirit has to move back, pull That's back, good. Step aside. And this verse is saying, I'm praying for you that you would have spiritual understanding. And this is what I pray for, spiritual wisdom and understanding, but from a knowledge of his will. I all the time say, tell me what you want. I want to do it.
Yeah.
And I don't get it. I don't know what he wants. Hmm. And the thing is, to be a pastor, to be a leader, to have anybody's life in your hand, you have to want to know his will. Hmm. The knowledge of his will is so important. And that, I believe, is when we come to an understanding of his, we have the mind of Christ inside of us. Paul later talks about this, the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. He talks about we know the heart of God. And to close my eyes and become aware of his presence inside of me, I tend to be able to read his mind. I wish it was better. I wish I was better at it. And what he's saying is, because of the love they had, they're perfect candidates to have this gift of understanding the mm-hmm. knowledge of the wisdom and spiritual understanding, that this comes through their love for one another. That's why he's praying for them for this.
Yeah.
And that they're then because of that, they have all this fruit, continual fruit.
Yeah.
They have an understanding. They know him.
Yeah.
It's just like, and then they perseverance and patience becomes theirs. And who couldn't use a little more perseverance and patience in a Christian walk, right?
Yep. Enjoy.
And I just continually go back to this, that this filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual understanding
really
and
good.
Wisdom. And it's like, that's what I must be pursuing. I must close my eyes and be aware that he lives inside of me. When I lay hands on someone to pray for them, I must have a visual understanding in my spirit that the Lord lives in me and his hands are being laid on them with my hands. His prayer is my prayer. My prayer is his prayer. And that I'm speaking from a spiritual understanding. Nobody could look at me and say, oh, there's two of you. Or I see a shadow with you. There's two hands laying. No, they wouldn't see that. It's in me. The spiritual understanding is in me.
That's good.
And then the works that I do become good works. People have all kinds of good works because of what I did, because I loved, which qualified me to have spiritual wisdom and understanding.
That's really good.
That's the thing that just absolutely drives me.
And I think what can't be, I know Steve said in the beginning, this can't be lost. He's talking to the ones
Church,
who know Jesus,
the believers,
Christians.
Yeah.
That have actually, it's after Jesus has left.
It says to the saints earth. And faithful brethren in Christ.
Correct, and he's talking about the gospel. And,
yep.
and so he's talking to us.
Yep.
If you call yourself a Christian, this is so imperative that we get this because it's everything. I mean, it's how to live and how to walk. And I just think if you just live these scriptures right mm-hmm. here, my goodness, your whole life could be transformed just by this short 11, 13 verses in mm-hmm. Colossians.
Right.
And so I don't want it to be lost that he's talking to us, not non-believers. He's talking to Christians who believe this is how then you should walk.
Yeah.
In my years, I agonizingly have fallen short in this area. And in these last 20 years...
What have you fallen short in the way you walk, or what?
In just what? Understanding spiritual wisdom and understanding,
okay.
knowing God, of having continual good fruit in every work I do.
Got it.
You know, it's just been a battle. It's been like chipping rocks with a tiny hammer.
Uphill battle.
So much easier with a Lotti Kalati, a big old sledgehammer, to chip rocks. It really is. You can smash things with a big hammer. But with a little one, man, it's so much harder to break things. And so breaking the hardness of our thinking, the hardness of our heart, the know-it-all attitude we walk in is so hard. And Paul is praying for them and based on their love. And I have to confess, people bothered the crud out of me most of my life. And ministry is really awesome, except for there's people involved, right? So that it's like, okay, so no wonder you're not feeling his mind, knowing his mind, feeling his wisdom and revelation, you know? The prayer Paul had is, my prayer that he would give you a gift of wisdom and revelation. He would open the eyes of your heart. It's basically the same prayer for those guys as this one is for these guys. And so I'm praying, and I see that lately in my life, not in big old bucketfuls, but in little tiny spoonfuls, I'm starting to really see the offering of wisdom and a knowledge of wisdom and revelation, a knowledge of wisdom and understanding, and through the Spirit, a walking in his a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm starting to see that in my life. It's like, yeah, I can see that a little bit, you know.
Bearing fruit.
Men will speak well of you. Men will say you're doing this, like they'll say, oh, you're totally changing a city. And yet I don't buy into that stuff. I'm not placated by that. It's no, I'm not even interested in changing a city. I'm interested in changing me so that I can change you and him and the next and help you find him to get changed so that finally and eventually there's enough of us to where a city is changed. It's like the sneeze to a cold. It's the symptom is that a city changes, right?
Yeah.
The disease is the cold. The infection in us is this. This is the infection of us.
Right.
And Paul's praying for these guys for this because of their love. So it goes back to love. I admitted people were hard for me. People irritate me easily. And in the last 10 years, way less.
Way less.
Like, you know, I mean, it's like I'm like a born again human being.
You're like a
different person. Yeah.
You change your stripes.
You know. Just, I'm so easily see something wrong or see something irritating, and just, it's so easy to walk away from it now, you know? And that's usually through inner healing. That's through
being married to me for 42 years.
It's absolutely the grace of the woman God gave me. And
I've helped you.
But mostly, it's just this line upon line, precept upon precept. Keep going forward, one step at a time.
Yep.
You fail, you get back up. You fall, you get back up. You can't quite grab the gold ring. You reach again. You go around, you reach again. And you just keep trying to get it right. And when you get it wrong, you don't quit. You keep going. And you never give up. You never surrender. You just keep going. Let's get down to the bottom line. It's love. Love for other people.
Yeah.
It's compassion for other people. It's feeling their woe, their reason. Instead of just saying they're losers, they're weak, you know, they could do this if they wanted to. Why do they keep choosing wrong? You just keep saying, no, if they want to, if they repent and they want to, they get another shot, they get another chance. The very kind of person I have no patience with, I have grown to have total patience with, you know, and learned how to love and offer them to waste my time and waste my energy and waste my money, waste everything I have, waste the time I have with my family. They take it from me. They're constantly gobbling it from me, and they just waste it.
Yeah.
And that very thing, I have learned how to give it to them again.
Yeah.
And so it's really love that qualifies us. Mm-hmm. And first and foremost, we are believers, like he's called them. Yeah. He called them believers. Then he prayed for them. These things would be theirs. And it's been, you know, a really long road to begin to see these things begin to happen in my life.
That's good.
And I pray for all the young people that maybe because it took me so long, but I really do see some things here, that these young people, like Kevin sitting over there on the couch, like you, you're still just a puppy, would really start to get what I've seen. You'll get there so far ahead of me. You'll be so many steps ahead of me because I'm sharing with you what I see here. And it's just like patience and long-suffering, joyously given, will come to me. And I've seen that. I've seen small amounts. I'm not saying I'm in any way arrived. Mm-hmm. You're starting to see it. There's a change happening. Yeah. There's a blessing coming. It's like a flood of grace and love coming. Yeah. And you can just see it. And you can see how God has worked in you and been patient with you. Yeah. And been patient with you. Anyway, so it's the result and the good fruit. Mm-hmm. And you just can see it because you begin to become aware of who he is in your life and how he uses you, you can read his mind and what he wants.
Yeah.
And he loves these people that you didn't like.
Yeah.
And so you just make a conscious choice. Well, I'm going to love them too then.
That's good.
At least do the best I can.
So what it sounds to me like you're describing is a partnership between you and the Lord. Where you have his heart, his will, his mind as a priority in your life. And sometimes people can hear this and read this and take away that an idea of works, like, it's all based on what I do. And I just wanted to take a moment and just address that idea of, like, are we saying then it's all on us, or are we saying it's what are we saying there?
It's really ludicrous to say anything else. It's crazy because it is all on us. It's only for those who believe. I had to choose to believe.
Yeah.
And when I chose to believe, there wasn't a lot of evidence in my life. I just met him. I felt his presence and chose to believe. Mm-hmm. And then when all of the sacrifice and stuff that's required of me who believe, I decided it's worth it because of who he is. I fell in love with someone, not something. And I think what you first said, I'm trying to gather my thoughts back on what that was. Mm-hmm. It's this partnership is 100% partnership. He does, then I do.
Yeah.
That's right.
Then he does.
Yeah.
And if I continue to respond to what he does, the way he's calling me to, and what Paul the Apostle's praying for, mm-hmm. then I get the next step. That's and good. The next step. It's like pebbles. It's like following the breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
If I'll go to the next breadcrumb, then I'll be standing in the perfect position to see the next breadcrumb. Mm-hmm. If I go my own way and say, nah, I'm going to go over here and look for breadcrumbs, I'll never see the next one or the next one or the next one or the next one.
Right.
I'll never get led down the road. And people who say it's nothing to do with what we do, I don't even know how you read that. And this Bible's all about what we do. Believe is a do.
Right.
Faith is a do.
Yep.
Work out your salvation. Yeah.
It's just a do. There's a lot of do's.
Yep. Yeah.
And there's a whole bunch of do's that disqualify you, mm-hmm. a whole bunch of do's that get you lost, a whole bunch of do's that confuse you to death.
Yeah. Hmm.
And the most important do I know is to read the Bible as his instructions, mm-hmm. believe the Bible, and then figure out that the Holy Spirit lives in you.
That's good.
And follow him. Mm-hmm. My sheep know my voice. They follow me.
Yeah.
I want to be his sheep first and foremost.
Right.
And if I end up a dumb, stupid sheep and cross the finish line, still a dumb, stupid sheep, I still cross the finish
line.
That's good. If I get to know his wisdom and revelation, I might be sharing it with the world through a podcast. Mm-hmm. I get to share it on a microphone every Sunday morning. I get to help people go that next step, the next breadcrumb, the next line, the next precept, the next I don't care if it's an inch, man.
Yeah.
We just keep going inches. Pretty soon, you're pretty far along. You know, and so that partnership is everything, like you said.
I love that. That's really simple for us to take. He does, then we do, then he does, then we do. And it's that step by step as opposed to, it's not, sometimes we like it, the idea of he did it all.
Yeah, he did it
and
all.
And now I just
sit back and
ride.
Yeah.
Kind of like that movie WALL-E where the human sat on some floating bubble, if you've ever seen it, and everything's done and robots clean up for them and bring them food and they do nothing and they just get fat and sassy and they lose their life. That's what people think Christianity is. You just lay down on the bubble and God carries you through life and you get whatever you want. And it's just not that. That's not what this says.
And on the flip side, then we get the other people that may be listening to that believe that it's all based on what they do and they have to earn and work their way into salvation. It's neither of those things. It's in the middle, right? I like what you said.
It's a partnership.
Yeah, I like what you said. It's his sheep hear his voice and follow him, right? That means he speaks and we listen, and it's that partnership is really important. So my other question for you guys is, you alluded to it a few moments ago, was, you know, that we see these lists that Paul makes where he says, like, do you not know that these people will not inherit the kingdom of God, will not qualify, will not make it, right?
Scare the crud out of you.
You know, just to read one of them, it says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, you know, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, thieves, homosexuals, the covetous, drunkards, revilers, swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. There's, you know, there's it. What do we do with that today? Well, you know, like,
well, today we do very little with it in our world, but that is very sobering to me.
Yeah.
All the lists are very sobering to me, because it is the one the scripture I keep thinking with through this is work out your salvation.
Yeah, sorry. That was 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 8 through 10.
Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Mm-hmm. What the heck? Work out your salvation. Yeah. So I have to work at it. It's not like I ask, behold, he stands at the door and knock, and that's all I do. I let him in,
yeah,
and it's over, because that's all. But it says work out your salvation, which is salvation, with fear and trembling.
Right.
Just that, with that list in and of itself,
yep,
it should scare us straight, basically, yeah, in reading and not dismissing the words of, mm-hmm, Jesus Christ, the words from his apostles, his disciples. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on with the Christian church. I've been a Christian 42 years, but it's not all or nothing. It's like you said. Yeah. It's both. He does come while I was yet a sinner and dies for me.
Yeah.
And behold, he stood at the door of my heart and knocked. And I opened the door, but we just don't sit there. We just don't let him come into our house, and then he's our butler. And it is a relationship. Every day, farther up and further in, and further up and farther in, and Colossians is just an incredible way to understand that.
Yeah.
Amen.
Did you have something on that?
No, I was looking at that, yeah, list of who won't inherit the kingdom of heaven, and what do we do with that today? Is, yeah, if we have the courage, we share that in love.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because you got to remember that it's love that qualifies you,
wow,
to be prayed for, that you'll have this knowledge and wisdom,
mm-hmm,
that you'll have this manner worthy of the Lord, that you'll walk in this spiritual power that, mm-hmm, he has.
Yeah.
And so when you talk about all these different things, it's interesting that to go to them, even though they're going to hate you,
yeah,
and share that at great risk to yourself, considering their eternal life is more important than your own protection and health.
Wow.
This is not just love. This is a supernatural love. This, yeah, is, I look at that thinking, I don't know. I don't know that I could do it.
Wow.
But I'd want to. You know, I'd want to put their spiritual condition. And if I won one or two or three, how much better off, you know, would they be? How far would they have come? Just two or three people. They've gone from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light.
Yeah.
They will have inherited eternal life, mm-hmm, because I risked everything. And if the other rest of the crowd, other than those one, two, or three, even killed me, I would have gone to heaven early,
yeah,
so that three other people can go to heaven instead of hell.
Wow.
Very Christ-like behavior, risk my soul.
Yeah.
It's like the idea of someone standing there facing me, and I've got a gun in my hand and he's got a gun in his. And I know that God is, you know, that lives in me, and he's going to shoot me, and I shoot him first. It's either him or me, and I shoot him first. It's that idea that I'm going to send him to hell so that he doesn't send me to heaven.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, when you think about it, it's like, oh, wow. But my family would miss me.
Right.
People would cry.
Yeah.
God can't put the wisdom in me in someone else that he put in me, right?
Hmm.
So I have to stay alive because I'm the only one that knows this truth. Hmm. Well, no, that's ridiculous. The Holy Spirit's the one that knows this truth. And if I'm able to speak it, it's because I've quieted myself to let him speak through me.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, if I've had fruit in my life, what it says here If every good works turns is turned to fruit, then many will know how to speak these truths. Hmm. Many will know how to learn how to close their eyes and get the mind of Christ and the heart of God and speak these truths, right? So me dying or living is of no consequence. Yeah. It's the question comes back to, if I shoot him before he shoots me, then I have sent him to hell, potentially sent him to hell to stop myself from going to heaven early. It's kind of a balance that we all go, oh, wow, I've never looked at it like that. Yeah, but you claim to know Christ and you claim to believe in eternal life and you claim to also believe in eternal death. Mm. And once we say we believe in that, it's like, oh, wow, I would send you to your damnation just so you don't send me to my blessing. It's like, that doesn't add up.
No.
And I think that that's the wrong thinking. When we read that list of who doesn't get to go to heaven, honestly, what it should feel like is just, it feels like we chewed on sawdust and just, it's the worst thing we ever had in our mouth. And we just like a taste in our mouth of horror. Hmm. Oh my gosh. And those things are spreading. What was it? All the different things that was in that list with idolatry and thieves and
drunkards.
And that drunken, perpetual, is it habitual drunkenness? Just all those things, you know, it just amazes me. Those are growing so fast. In fact, they're growing amongst potential believers, people that claim to believe. And so that should be my horror.
Yeah.
You know, that they're going there instead of the word, well, I'm so grateful I'm not. Praise the Lord, I'm not. Hmm. You know, I'm like, that's just not what this is talking about. This is not, what he's talking about praying for the Colossians is that because of their love. What does it say? Where does it say that? Just as you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf, and he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. And for this reason, because of your love in the Spirit, since the day we heard about it, your love in the Spirit, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will.
Wow.
Mm. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah, and so is it love to shoot someone before they shoot you?
Well,
send them to hell? Let them, hey, you go to hell, buddy.
Even that, what you're saying with those lists, right? We think that often that we're being more loving and kind to people by not saying these words because the poll's harsh and as, you know, we don't want to say to the people that are in these sins, hey, the Bible says don't do this because we think that's, people see that as hate in the world, so we turn off our love in order to...
Good.
You know,
accommodate their accusations,
and that's what that's a completely different perspective.
And,
that
and the way we way we've communicated it, I know in the my 65 years, the way I've heard it communicated, isn't really love.
Right,
it's not really a care for your eternal soul. It's not really a passion for the lost. And I want that. I if you had the mind of Christ, you would have a passion for the lost.
Yeah.
You know, he was a little bit harsh to the religious. Lost
because they said they believed, right?
Yeah, because they claimed to be of his house. They were deceiving the people and teaching the precepts of men as the doctrines of God, and he was very harsh to them. But to sinners like the lady caught in adultery and anybody else, he was so compassionate. Go and sin no more. The woman at the well, he told her the truth, but wasn't, you know, accusing, and and he wasn't harsh like we tend to be in, like we tend to be
self-righteous a little bit, right?
Yeah.
So wow, that's that I, for me, that just kind of is especially in my generation, you know, and especially the ones younger than me, it's this whole idea is that if, you know, we all have our own truth and our own belief and our own idea, and saying the absolute statements that Paul makes that these people will not is
inherit the kingdom.
That, you know, we're told that's not love, that's the
opposite,
you know, and I think to think about it on the other side of that is actually it's hate for us not to share the truth is a
Steve often says that in his testimony, his brother was willing to be hated to tell Steve the truth because Steve was very hateful to his brother.
What
even threatened his life, he's gonna kill him, right, Steve? And you know, looking back, it's like thank God, thank you God, that Michael was willing to be hated.
Yeah.
you know, willing to not have a relationship with his brother.
Yeah.
Or be dead because he would kill him.
Yeah.
I wasn't murderous. I just was very I was angry.
You were pretty angry back then. It could have been murder. Yeah.
I don't think so.
So
might have been.
You know, just before we close up, just at the very end of that scripture again, it says, "For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his beloved son." And just, you know, I think what we're talking about today is, that's verse 13 in Colossians, is that idea that we're no longer supposed to be part of darkness. The kingdom of darkness, right? We came out of that domain,
that's
and
right.
we're now in a different place.
That's
and,
good.
We don't always see that in the lives of believers today, right? That we kind of want to have one foot in each camp almost. And
It is tragic.
Do we have any practical wisdom or ideas for people that maybe relate to that kind of, you know, I can still see where the domain of darkness is present in my life. What can they do? Should they do?
I believe you should just stop and just repent and ask, tell the Lord that you have been seduced by the world. And the Lord of this world, Satan, is very seductive. Mm-hmm. And the world looks really good. I mean, it doesn't look good, but there's things in it that we have sold our soul for, basically success and money and houses and cars and education and prestige and reputation. And I think if this is you, if this is resonating with you, the Holy Spirit's just kind of like, you know, excuse me, mm-hmm. this is you. I just say, just stop where you are and just say, Lord, forgive me, for I've sinned. Mm-hmm. I am straddling the line between good and evil, or darkness and light. And honestly, he wants you to be all in. And, you know, we all have sinned to fall short of the glory of God. And that, but what do you do with that? And so it's not a one and done thing. Mm-hmm. It's not you ask Jesus into your life and there's no more work. So I would just heartfelt repentance.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's good. And Steve, you know, you talked a lot about this, the filled with knowledge and of his will and spiritual wisdom and understanding. What can people do to put themselves in a position to be filled with those things, to learn, to grow in that? Is there any practical steps a person can take?
The most important practical step you can take for these things is to learn how to love one another. Mm-hmm. And then you've got to want what they are.
Yeah.
So you've got to understand what they are. And I think that understanding what they are only comes through the Spirit, and mm-hmm. the Spirit is offered to those who love one another. Mm-hmm. And I think that loving people really allows you that opportunity. Loving your brother as Jesus Christ has loved you gives you that opportunity to be put right in a good position to begin to glean the Holy Spirit's understanding, to read the mind of Christ and feel the heart of God and love them as he loved them. Mm-hmm. And it just increased. It's the old, you know, chicken and the egg.
Yeah.
You got, you know, if the original offering is from Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, he's the chicken, you're the egg. And so you receive it, you become an offspring of his. Yeah. And then on top of that becomes the chicken and then the egg. And out of the egg comes the chicken and then more eggs.
Right.
And it's a never-ending cycle of learning his wisdom and revelation. Mm-hmm. But how you do it is you start with loving, and then you look at the value of what he's offering and you receive it. Like Paul's saying, my prayer is that you would receive these, because Paul came into an amazing understanding of what is valuable to you.
Yeah.
And what is not valuable to you. And so Paul did not consider suffering for Christ something to be avoided.
Right.
And when the brothers said, you can't go up to Jerusalem, they're going to arrest you. They're conspiring to destroy you. He said, brothers, what's wrong with you? I am willing to not only be arrested, but I'm willing to be beaten and crucified for the sake of Jesus Christ, to be allowed to preach the gospel in Jerusalem. I would gladly risk these things, because he came to an understanding of what's important and what's not important. And we only have that chance if we are found to be lovers. We are found to be people who love.
That's good. Amen.
And then we're offered this opportunity to understand this. When I say it, a lot of people are just like, oh, that's crazy about the, you know, standoff with a gun and sending him to hell versus sending me to heaven.
Yeah.
And all those things. It's an understanding of love. Mm-hmm. It's an understanding of it. And I don't know that I can do it. I just know that I'd want to. I now understand it. I've never thought that way in my whole life. And now I do. It's line upon line. It's, you come to the next thing. And how do you get it? You become someone who loves others. And then this begins the understanding of God, of who you are in God, mm-hmm. of what you have in your life, what you have, what how he's going to use you, what a privilege it is if he does use you. And just, and the good fruit that comes from it. And you have all of this in front of you, and you have to make it important, and you have to look to it, begin to understand it.
That's good.
And then you can have what it is. You can have it in your life.
Wow. Amen. Man, so, yeah, just then, in summary, one of the things that you said, Steve, that I heard from you, I don't know how many years it's been now, 10, 11 years, back was, I believe you wrote it in one of your early Bibles, that are you living for, is what you're living for worth Jesus dying for?
Yeah.
And I think that really summarizes a lot of what we've been talking about today, is are you living in this manner worthy of him? Are you living, seeking to please me, seeking to know him?
Is what you're living for worth Jesus dying for? And that's that manner worthy of his love, manner the worthy of Jesus Christ. And I don't know.
Yeah. But that's the question I think we all need to ask ourselves and take stock of, you know, is, does my life reflect this truth? Am I pursuing to know him more and pursuing to love him more and love others more and all of that stuff? So thank you everybody for listening today. We really appreciate you,
Jesus,
and we pray that you would be changed and you would be inspired to change. And we pray that, you know, we pray this prayer for you, that you would be filled with all these things. And we bless you, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Thank you so much for making us a part of your podcast routine. We really hope you enjoyed our conversation today and would love to get your feedback. You can tell us what you think about today's show at uncommontruthpodcast@gmail.com. You can also get in touch to ask questions for Steve and Vicky or suggest a subject you'd like to hear covered. Either way, we'd love to feature your comments on an upcoming episode. If you're new to the show or just haven't done so yet, please take a moment to leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. That helps push the show up the charts so more people can find us. If you know someone who would enjoy the types of conversations that happen on The Uncommon Truth, click share on the podcast app of your choice or send them to uncommonpodcast.com. Until next time, have a great week and keep running after Christianity the way Jesus meant it to be.